Take your Bibles this morning, please. Turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11 this morning. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read verses 11 through 15 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 through 15 this morning. Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 through 15. Please stand to your feet this morning. In honor of God's word, as we read the word of God together, Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Father, let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the challenge and that it gives us. Thank you for the insight. Thank you for the conviction and sometimes the love that it provides. Now, God, I pray you'd just do your work in our hearts and lives today. Use our pastor this morning. Anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for the task ahead, so that we will be better Christians for hearing what we hear. And Father, if there's one in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today they would settle that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, now I'm going to ask you to sit very still and listen very carefully for these next few moments. If you have an electronic device that makes a noise of some kind, sings, plays music, does the national anthem, whatever the case may be, turn it to vibrate or to off. We'd appreciate that very much this morning. I want to check your hearing today. Can you hear me? Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Do you see that statement in verse 15? He's preaching to them about John the Baptist, and he's trying to explain to them the ministry and the person of John the Baptist. Then Jesus makes that statement. Now, he'll make that statement eight times in his preaching. He's talking to them about different subjects, different things, different matters. Then he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He's simply saying this. He said, are you listening? Are you listening? Do you know why we start the church service with music and singing? See, what prepares people's hearts for the service, etc. Well, that's part of it. But number one, believe me, if we walked in here, sat down, and I said, okay, open your Bibles, let's take our Bibles, we're going to go right to the Scripture today, and I just started teaching the Bible and preaching the Word of God to you, do you know for most of you the service would be over before you'd even start listening? Some of you are not going to hear very well what I have to say this morning. Some of you are not listening right now. You tuned out on something you didn't like, you heard in Sunday school, and you're still not listening. But now, I want you to hear me this morning. Now, hear me this morning. I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to listen and listen with the God-given ears that he gave you. You say, well, Jesus must have been talking to deaf people. No, he's not talking to deaf people. He's talking to people who can hear perfectly well. But they're not listening. Seven times, the seven churches of the Revelation, those chapter 2 and chapter 3 passages there in the book of the Revelation where God speaks to the seven churches and he gives them his inspector general report. How the Lord had walked up and down in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, Revelation chapter 1. And then Revelation 2 and 3 is that those seven golden candlesticks were the seven churches of Asia. And Jesus said, now here's my report. This is what I saw in your church. Are you listening? And at the end of every one of the letters to Ephesus and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis, etc., and Philadelphia, at the end of every one of those seven letters, the same statement is made. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In other words, God's saying, listen now, are you listening? What kind of hearing do you have this morning? Do you have selective hearing? You hear what you want to hear. Most men have selective hearing. It's not that we're deaf. We're accused of that for many years. But that's not the case. We just hear what we want to hear. We're listening for key words. Dinner. Golf. ESPN. We're listening for certain words that are essential. Everything else is really not that important. It's not that we can't hear. It's just that we're listening for certain things. We have selective hearing. Do you have selective hearing? Listen to me. You come to church, you're listening for the part you want to hear. And if it's not said, I didn't hear what he said. Some people have selective hearing. I find that some people have deliberate hearing. You listen to what you want to listen to. Someone says something and frankly, you're not even tuned in because frankly, you don't even want to hear what they have to say. Some people have no hearing whatsoever and they have perfectly good hearing. They just don't want to listen to anybody. Difficult to talk to someone and try and tell them something when they don't want to listen to a word you have to say. It's like that guy in the jail I tell you about every now and then. I was preaching there in one of the services up in our jail ministry, and this young man had come out of the cell blocks and was sitting there, and as I began to preach, he didn't like what he heard, so he's sitting there, and he put his thumbs in his ears while I was preaching. Then he didn't like what he was seeing, so he put his fingers over his eyes like that. And that's the way he sat in the service. So I just got right down there real close to him, right by his ear like that, and just preached away at him. I can get through thumbs. I can get through brick walls. I can get through anything. This kid didn't want to listen to it. And I find it, when he stopped doing it, I said, knock it off. I said, you know what, partner? You belong in here. You came into a church service. What did you expect we were going to do? And our youth revival, almost every year we have a youth revival here in our church. Inevitably, we'll get a parent who will call and complain that we had preaching at our youth revival. And I always think, well, what did you think we were going to do? I mean, I don't know what they're doing in other youth ministries. We have a youth revival. We're having preaching. My kids didn't come there to listen to preaching. Well, what did they come to a youth revival for? Some people don't want to listen. They don't want to listen. Some of you are out, you got your head down, you don't want to listen. Somebody needs to slap you upside your punkin' head so you'll start listening maybe and actually hear something you need to hear. Then there are those who have suggestive hearing. They hear things that were never said. My wife has excellent hearing. I said, honey, your hearing is so good, you hear things I never said. That's how good your hearing is. Hey now, we've been on vacation. All right, just one guy in the room's got the nerve to stand up with me. All right. They get you at 11:15 at night when you're tired and you're about to ready to go to sleep and start asking all these questions. Can we do this? Can we do that? And you're going, you're giving away the farm. You have no idea. You want to go to sleep. I don't care. Yeah, go to the Bahamas. Take all the credit cards. Yeah. The next morning, you said I could. When did I say that? Did I pass out? Was there a partial rapture? What happened? I ain't kidding you. One night she woke me up and she said, honey, there's a dog breathing outside our window. Not barking, breathing. We don't even have a dog. I said, what did you say? She said, there's a dog breathing outside our window. You can hear a dog breathing outside the window. She said, he's out there and I can hear him breathing. That's suggestive hearing, ladies and gentlemen. People walk out that door on Sunday morning, they'll say thank you, and they'll tell me what I preached, and I never said any such thing. I'll get the tape and get the CD and listen to it, and I go, did I say that? And I'll listen to it, and I go, I never said that. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, there are times when I lose my mind up here, and I forget what's going on. There's no question about that. Kind of like the maniac of Gadara or something. I don't know what that is. But there's some people, thank you. Then there's idiots hearing. I I leave town 2 weeks, come back, and my church is taken away from me. I can't believe it, but it's not my church. Some people, though, they have very good hearing. Their intention is to hear exactly the truth. I spent some years of my life wandering around trying to find answers. The day came when God was gracious to give me an opportunity to get some things right in my life. And I made a decision that day, August 1975. I don't want any more answers. I want the truth. I don't want the truth that's appealing to me. I don't want the truth that I like. I don't want the truth that I want for my life at this particular time. I just want the truth. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's not always appealing, and that's not always something that we like, and it's not always something that we want, but I just would like to know the truth. That's all. Then, you know something, ladies and gentlemen, that attitude creates a good-hearing person. Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Please don't let the entire sermon go by this morning before you start to pay attention. Please don't open the Bible and read the Word of God and not hear what it has to say to you. Can I give you some things you need to be sure you listen to very carefully? Number one, would you please listen to the creation of God? Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 1 real quickly with me this morning. Romans chapter 1. This is a passage of Scripture that I find so appropriate for the day and age in which we live today. But frankly, this has been the case of mankind now for the centuries. Romans chapter 1. Would you look at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 19, please? Romans 1 and verse number 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even so His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You see those statements, please? God revealed and manifest Himself to us. Verse number 20, the Bible says, first of all, through His creation, what He has made. These last few weeks, we've been on a trip. We drove over 3,000 miles and drove up to Oregon and Washington into Canada. And then from the west coast of Canada, British Columbia, we drove over to Banff and Alberta and drove through that region of the Canadian Rockies. Unbelievable. I've been to some beautiful places in the world. I've never seen anything that pretty in my life. The majesty of God's creation. Not to look at that and say, boy, what an accident. What an incredible, unbelievable, geological mistake that just happened to turn out that pretty. No, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day into day utter speech, night into night showeth knowledge. There is no speech or language where His voice is not heard, the Bible says. How can we look at what the Bible said? The things that are made clearly reveal to us the eternal power and Godhead of an almighty God. Now there's a voice there, friend, that tells you there's someone greater than you. There's someone who is the creator of all that you see. That fact, and the Bible says He did all that work with His fingers. Just fashioned those mountains and fashioned those valleys and rooted out those rivers and fashioned those things. He just did that as a part of one day of creation in the hand and work of God. Now there's a voice there. There's a voice that says there's an almighty God. There is a creator. There's not just some being. There is someone. His name is God. And He fashioned and made all of that, and He created it to show us the handiwork of God. Yeah, okay, well, mountains and trees, Pastor Johnson, what does that mean to me? Well, can I ask you a question this morning? A God who could make that and you know Him, He cannot then work in your life and help you? I don't know if my theology is exactly correct, but I believe that when God created that, He knew one day I would be able to see that. One day I would get to look upon His creation and see that which He made. Now, if He was that particular and careful about what He made for God's people and His people on this earth to see and know and understand, Christian friend, dear friend, this morning, don't you understand? That's the same God who's alive this morning, sitting upon the throne of heaven, who is the creator of everything, still takes that much of a particular care for you. We drive along, and there are certain animals that we wanted to see that are in Canada. We wanted to see bear, and we want to see elk and moose and mountain goats and bighorn sheep and deer. And we wanted to see these creatures. Because in Canada, they'll just be standing along beside the road. You drive along, and the way you find them now is there's cars stopped. Oh, there's a bear, what they call it, a bear jam. They'll stop, and people will be out taking pictures. There's a bear standing there beside the road. Some stupid tourist will go up and offer him a sandwich, you know, and then the bear gets the sandwich and fresh meat. But we drive along. We say, what animal do we want to try to see today? And we say, oh, we didn't see so-and-so. Turn the corner, there'd be an animal standing there beside the road. Oh, we haven't seen a moose yet. And we saw a moose out there in a lake with his head under the water eating grass, walking through this lake. God just put little things out in front of us in our life. See, his creation proves he's there. His creation proves his power. His creation proves his particular care for you. His creation proves his ability. Look at me, my friend. The voice of God speaks clearly through his creation. Not just so we can say God did that. It's to remind us that he is a great God who can still do great things. You still believe that? Hey, folks, you know something? We don't live in one of the ugliest parts of this state. We happen to live in a place of great beauty. Out there behind all that smoke are some amazing mountains. You know that? God did this. Hey. Listen now, look at me. Are you listening? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said, listen now. Listen to me. I've got something for you here. Are you listening? Number two, be sure to listen to the Word of God. This is a living book, this Word of God. That Bible, that's not just a compilation of man's thoughts. It's not something put together by people so that we could have some kind of a religious belief or understanding. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's a living book, ladies and gentlemen. And it is a book that speaks to us. That's just the voice of God. That's why we call it the Word of God. God's final word on everything. It is how God talks to us today in this age. God speaks through this book. Hebrews chapter 1, the first three verses, tells us that in the past God spoke to the prophets. In Christ's day he spoke to us through his Son. And in this day, in Hebrews 1 and 3, it talks about how God speaks to us through his word, the Bible. That's how God's speaking to us. We read the scriptures here. We preach the scriptures here. You bring your children to Sunday school. You come yourself. Some of you need to get the hang of that thing, by the way. Sunday school. Back it up an hour, friend. What's the big deal? By the way, let me just interject this little simple thought here. If we were going to the lake, you wouldn't have a problem backing it up an hour. No kidding. Brother Evans and I were playing in the rain, in the cold, playing golf. One day it got so bad we had to postpone it, just put it off till the next day. But believe me, we got it in. You know, the truth of the matter is, friend, we're missing something. You have a Bible in your house. How many of you have at least one Bible in your house? At least one Bible. Hold your hand and look around you this morning. Have at least one Bible in your house. Many of us got those big hippie Bibles with the Jesus, hippie Jesus on the front of them. We got that thing like a piece of furniture laying there on a coffee table or over on a dress somewhere. And then we got one here and we got one over there and we got a New Testament and we got one of these and we got one of those. That's the book of God written by God. That's his voice that tells us what God says about any matter in any era, at any time, under any circumstance, for any reason. This is what God says. But now I can ask you a question this morning. Are you listening to what the Bible says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Bible teaches that salvation is a gift, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is a free gift. It did not come cheaply. It came at a great price. And Jesus paid the price. You must receive that gift by faith. Not by the works of mankind or religion. You must accept that gift by faith through trusting Christ alone for your salvation. Till that day comes, you do not have salvation. That's God's word on the matter. The Bible is so clear, from type in the Old Testament to principle in the New Testament. God's word is very clear. Yet the rapture of the church comes. Jesus calls and catches up his own. Next Sunday, there'll be people who'll pull in on the parking lot of Shasta Baptist Church to attend services here. And we'll be gone. But there'll still be people to occupy this room who were here the Sunday before and heard this very simple presentation of the plan of salvation, but didn't listen and didn't hear what it said and missed the opportunity for heaven. Are we listening to what the Bible says about salvation? Are we listening to what the Bible says that eternal security is God's work, that he saves and he keeps, kept by the power of God, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5, ready to be revealed at the last time, that the God who saved you with a salvation you did not deserve secures you with the grace that you do not deserve, and that once you're saved, you're always saved, and nothing can ever change that. That's the work of God. Are we listening to what the Bible says? Yeah, but that doesn't make sense to me. No, you're listening to yourself instead of listening to the Word of God. Listen to the Bible. Salvation doesn't make sense. Security doesn't make sense. Heaven doesn't make sense. But thank God it's in the Bible, and that's the way it is. Are we listening? Listen to the Bible. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 real quickly. What the Bible says. Just listen to the Word of God. Well, here's the thing. 1 Corinthians 6, turn there please. I know what the Bible says. Okay, but wait a minute. Then why do we have any question after that? Why is there anything to be taken up after that statement? I know what the Bible says. Good, then do it. Then just follow what it says. We don't need to question God's word. We just need to follow the word of God. And listening to what it says makes a world of difference. Just concerning the Christian life, it's all in one simple verse here. A lot of other verses about it. But 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Pastor Johnson, is there anything wrong with, am I supposed to do, where does the Bible say I can't do that? The Bible simply says this, friend, you don't belong to yourself. You don't have a right to do with you what you want. The Bible says you belong to him. Now, if you're a child of God, you've been bought with a price. That precious blood of Jesus Christ bought and paid for your soul, salvation, and your body. And it's all his. That's the authority. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says you're not your own. Are we listening to the scripture? Are we hearing what it tells us to do? So we don't go home on Sunday afternoon and decide whether we want to go back to church on Sunday night. You're not your own. But Hebrews chapter 10 says not to forsake the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. That's the Bible. Are we listening to the word of God? See, Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Are you getting it? Are you listening? Listen to God's creation. Listen to the Bible. Just listen to what it says. Let the Word of God be God's final authority in all matters. Let it speak to your life and what it says, and follow God's Word. Listen to creation. Listen to the Bible. Turn to John chapter 16 very quickly, please. John chapter 16. Are we listening this morning? John chapter 16. Turn there quickly. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. I wonder sometimes if the Holy Spirit of God is, there's a different Holy Spirit today. John chapter 16, turn there and then look at me for just a moment. See, when I walked into the doors of an independent fundamental Baptist church in 1975, I'd never been in a church like that before. I grew up in Baptist churches and things like that as a boy, but boy, most of those Baptist churches, to be frank and honest with you, they were deader than Job's turkey. They were. They started at 11 o'clock sharp and ended 12 o'clock dull every Sunday. I mean, the life verse of the church was, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I mean, that's the way it was. I walked to an independent fundamental Baptist church for the first time, and I thought that preacher needed a rabies shot. I mean, he was a wild man. He hollered, stomped, romped, and raved, and carried on and carried out. And by the way, he was just preaching what the Bible said. It really wasn't what he was doing. It was what he was saying that was causing me so many problems. One thing about being loud is most people can't hear you. Only a couple times in 25 years of preaching behind this pulpit have I ever had somebody say, oh, I couldn't hear you. But it wasn't what the way I said it, it was what I was saying. And it was what I was hearing as a kid sitting there in the pews of an independent fundamental Baptist church. And the first thing you want to do is you want to blame the preacher if you don't like it. Yeah, but see, I didn't like the way you said that. The truth of the matter is the work and person of the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God as we read it ourselves, as we hear it preached, and He does a work with that. Look at John chapter 16 and verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, and he will come. And when he has come, here's what he'll do. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will come, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit of God, listen to me, the Holy Spirit of God, via the Word of God, is trying to get our attention and wants to know if we're listening to what the Word of God has to say. And the Spirit of God takes the Word of God that you hear and the Word of God that you know, and he does three things with it. Number one, if there's sin in your life, he lets you know. If there's sin in your life, he lets you know. The Holy Spirit's not a big brass band. The Holy Spirit's not a worship and praise group. The Holy Spirit's a still, small voice that says, that's you. That's an area you need to work on. That's something you need to stop doing, or that's something you need to start doing. Sin is two sides to it, doing wrong and not doing right. And the Holy Spirit will step right up and say, there you go, that's something you need to take care of. There you go, that's something you need to do. Of sin, the Bible says, number two, of righteousness. He'll convict us, or he will point out to us, there's something you need to start doing in your life. That guy just talked about Sunday morning. Don't go home and pray about Sunday night. Go to church. You know, you need to quit. You need to start doing that. That's a good do in your life. That Sunday school thing, that's a good do. You know, you need to back it up an hour. Knock it off. We get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and run up and down a mountain. We can't get to Sunday school. What's the deal with that? The Holy Spirit just works that role on us. And he comes right down. And we start to say something. The Spirit of God says, no. Don't do that. Don't do that. Of sin, of righteousness, and number three, of judgment. Judgment is simply the consequence if you don't stop the sin and you don't do the right. The Spirit of God says, one fellow told me one day, he said, I'm so glad I don't go to your church anymore. I don't feel guilty. He said, I go to the church in town. I don't feel guilty when I leave over there. That's the way it's supposed to be. I said, well, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you feel guilty. Just preach the Bible. If you felt guilty, the Spirit of God was trying to get you to do something about it. Because there's a consequence. Now, friend, listen to me. If we don't stop the wrong and we don't start the right, there's a consequence to that. That's what the judgment thing is about. And that's the Spirit of God working in our life. Are you listening? No, we wait for the consequence to come and then we go, man, I should have listened. You know, it's the saddest moment for me. Either in my office or at their house, or standing beside a hospital bed, or standing next to a coffin, for someone to look at me and say, man, preacher, I wish I would have listened. Long before the consequences of our actions ever catch up with us, the Spirit of God has been tugging away at our hearts, saying, now there's something you need to take care of here. He that hath ears to hear, are you listening? Have you got your ears on? Are you paying attention? Through God's creation and God's Word, and the Holy Spirit. And listen now, lastly today, through life. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, has been using the circumstances of life to show us that's what really happens to you. How do they do that? How does Hollywood take and put a good face on wickedness and people believe it? They really think that you can live a wicked life and everything's going to turn out okay. They try to make it look that way, but the reality is the truth comes out when you see the consequences of their actions played out in the tragedies of their lives. That's good, huh, Pastor Johnson? No, that's not good. It's sad. But what's sad is still is people out there thinking, yeah, but it won't happen to me, but it will. Life shows us that life proves that sin has a consequence to it. By the way, life also proves to us that the righteous go through difficult times, but God takes care of them. Now listen to me. I'd rather have whatever it is God brings my way in life. I'd rather take that which He provides for me than enjoy any kind of benefit that would come from doing something that's wrong. Main reason, I want to please God. Number two, I don't have to keep looking over my shoulder wondering who's going to catch up with me. I got anything to hide. I'm not perfect, and I have regrets in my life like everybody else does. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I could pillow my head at night and say there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. And I would rather live a life with no regrets than a life that's filled with nothing but regrets. Because, boy, I sure shouldn't have done that. And, boy, I sure shouldn't have been. And now I'm wondering when this is going to catch up with me. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But the Bible says this. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You give God time, His harvest always comes in. And God takes care of us. Life proves that. There are people sitting around you this morning. Nobody perfect. But you know what? Their life that's so good and so right came from a God who blessed them for doing the right thing. Life is trying to speak to you this morning. Are you listening? Why are we infatuated with people at work who talk a big talk about their party life and the stuff that they do, but they can't keep their life together? I mean, they cannot put it all in one bag and keep it there for 5 minutes. And yet we're infatuated with these people. We wish we were like them. We're ashamed of the fact that we don't do that. No, thank you. Life, hey, listen to me. Life is speaking to you. Are you listening? And everything you see that's truth that comes out of the voice of what life teaches us is already confirmed by the Word of God. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed.